Pastor. Well, glory to God. Amen. What a Sunday night looking crowd. Praise the Lord. I can't do much with this piano, Brother Charles, but we'll try. Thank you, good musicians. I appreciate that. Praise the Lord. Are you glad to be here? Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You sing right along. Well, maybe just do a little medley of something here. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Stand on those promises, you're standing on solid ground. Standing on the promises of God, so I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. And thank him for the pain.
Amen.
He suffered because he cared so much for me. Because he cares so much for me. Oh, what What a friend, what a God, what a Lord. I believe we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Praise the Lord. Such a blessing. Such an honor to be here. And we're going to read the word of the Lord. Glad for Charlie and Henry that made it down tonight. We had bukus of other folks said they was going to come. Christians won't lie, but you got to watch your Baptists. They will on occasion. But we believe in grace, don't we? We're just glad you're here, and we're glad the blessed Holy Spirit is always in our hearts. Your pastor would not have had me put on his heart if it wasn't of God. I know that. So it is very humbling to be here, and we will read verse 5, 1 Peter 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, giveth grace to the humble. The Holy Spirit said that same thing through the pen of James. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Psalms 91 is very plain. From everlasting to everlasting, he is God. Amen. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. God has no equal, much less a superior. He is God, Amen. Eternal, Amen. Almighty, Amen. Never changing. Casting all your care upon him. Even our Lord Jesus said in John 16:33, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So all of our inevitable care that may be on our mind and heart as a result of a sinful, sin-cursed world, we can put all of that, cast it from us on him. For he cares. As a mother would comfort her children, so does God comfort us. Amen. The mixed up, divided Corinthians heard the Spirit speak through Paul's pen and say that God is the God of all comfort. So be sober, knowledgeable, vigilant, watchful, because your adversary, the devil, that's what God put on my heart. I stopped up there. The reason why I made you, Pastor, a little bit nervous. I was sitting up yonder somewhere. They closed a rest area. I says, Lord, you sure? But I learned a long time ago, just trust him. He's the preacher. We ain't. So look at that. The devil. So somebody said, Brother, what did the preacher preach on Sunday night? The devil. I know your pastor has exposed that scoundrel countless times. He's a liar, Jesus said. He's a thief. He's a murderer. Walks about, as here says, seeking whom he may devour. Seeking whom he may devour. Don't let him devour you. As a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Let's all pray again. God, we need you. We always need you. We want you. This is your house, your people, your word, your piano, your pulpit. My God, the breath that every one of us are about to inhale, that belongs to you. You are the creator of all that is. There is none beside you. You identify yourself a number of names, but you are El Shaddai. You are the Almighty God. And I pray that you will take your word, and I pray that you will speak to those who may be in this number tonight, unprepared to die, never saved by your amazing grace. Of course, we all pray that they will allow tonight to be the night of their salvation. And now, O God, minister to us as your people. by your Spirit through your Scripture, and we will be humbly and carefully thankful. Because if there's anything done tonight, you got to do it just like the pastor's already said. And we agree and concur wholeheartedly. So God, may we all humble ourselves and give us ears to hear now your eternal word. Deliver it by your Spirit through your Scripture in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, the devil, what did he say right there? In verse 9, he said, resist him. James chapter 4 said, submit yourself unto God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. You remember the Bible talks about even Michael and then the high priest Joshua in the book of Zechariah didn't dare bring an accusation against him other than to say, the Lord rebuke you. And the Lord, the Bible spoke over there in Isaiah, or Zechariah chapter 3, the Lord rebukes you. Or the Lord rebuke you. I don't have the power to rebuke him. I don't have the power to resist him. But 1 John 4:4 tells us, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. 1 Corinthians 15:57, thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But we do have this enemy, this adversary. We won't, I don't feel at all the Lord leading us to go all the way back to Genesis and track the tempter all the way through. But we know from Isaiah, we know from Ezekiel, we know from various scriptures that apparently the devil was one of the three archangels. His first big problem was he was pretty good at what he was doing. Chief cherubim, generating music, generating charisma. A third of the angels followed him, so impressive. So he said, I'll just ascend above the throne of God. Nobody will be above me. But God kicked him out, and he fell from heaven. Then I hear Jesus saying in the Gospels, don't rejoice because the devils are subject to you, but rejoice because your name's written down in heaven. Praise the Lord. I want you to know I'm looking at the body of Christ tonight. I am looking at the church, the general assembly, the firstborn. I'm looking at a holy nation, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Through the pen of Peter, that's how the church is identified. Jesus would say, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So why in the world then do we see such chaos and carrying on in our country? We know from 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that God's not the author of confusion, and confusion is raging from California to Virginia and from Canada to Mexico, and it's not excluding our protectorates or Hawaii or Alaska either. Our country is in trouble. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Righteousness exalted the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. All nations that forget God shall be, not might be, turned into hell. That word in the Hebrew, Sheol, not necessarily. Now, there is a place of departed human spirits where sinful souls will suffer in hell, be dredged out of hell, to stand at the white throne, to be cast in the lake of fire. But that word there in Psalms talks about a position of chaos. Actually talks about the grave. What it's saying is, if you forget God and you begin to flee from God individually, as a family or as a country, you ain't going to betterment. You're going to detriment. Said just a few minutes ago, Jesus said in John 8 to John 10 that the devil is a liar. He'll promise you all kinds of stuff, and there are ways it seems right to men. I think there's 3 proverbs that says that, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So you've seen what's going on out here in our nation, but where have we been? Can I ask you that question? I think your pastor, I think your leadership and the membership here at Temple Baptist, just like me, just like the folks from Freedom, we're hungry for revival. Revival comes when God's people admits it's not that one's fault, that one's fault. But like the song leader led us out tonight, it ain't the deacon or the preacher, but it's me, oh Lord, that's standing in the need of prayer. I don't feel worthy to stand in this pulpit in this sacred place tonight. I feel like I ought to be back yonder on the back pew, not only sitting on it, but underneath it. Well, what? But God had mercy on a wretch like me. Oh, I know myself, and I know. Oh, but He loved me when I was unlovable. In me, I'm nothing, but in Him, oh, the oneness that we have with the Lord. But that old devil is a liar, and he's a thief. And he tries to apply all types of things to our natural carnal mind. Romans 8:6 is plain. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And then I find in Ecclesiastes, nothing new under heaven has been aforetime. Look at the Corinthians. He sort of talked, boy, I love 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It's a preaching of the cross. One thing about a preacher, Charles Lawson, he's a preacher man. Preaches the cross, preaches the blood, the book, and the blessed hope. That's not a shame. Got a backbone like a saw log. I didn't know he was a wax Semper Fi leather neck. And I thanked him for his service. But he stands here as the man of God with the Word of God. And it's the Word of God that generates faith. If you're lost in here tonight, you need to hear the Word. Because Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. How then can, and I've said this so often, Hebrews chapter number 11 then, how can we please God? We can only please God by faith. So if we don't have faith, so what's the number one thing then? If you would want to incapacitate somebody or rob somebody, there's no robbers or thieves in here, but the devil's a thief. So if I'm looking for one of y'all's residents to break in tonight while you all are in church, well, what a crude illustration. I don't want to break in and get a package of popsicles. We'll do a little reconnaissance and see where your high dollar jewelry is. So what do you think the thief's going to do? He only comes but to kill, to steal, and destroy. So if we can only be saved by faith, we can only please God by faith, what do you reckon the devil's going to come after first thing in your life? He's going to come after your faith. He's going to come after your hope. He's going to come after your love. So if we're not in the Bible, then we don't have faith. Jesus met some folks, they had no faith. How is it that you have no faith? The disciples out there on that storm, they're just about to drown. They're scared to death. And then when Jesus put the storm to sleep, and they said, what manner of man is this? Yeah. He looked at them after he rebuked the storm. Amen. He rebuked them. Yeah. Yeah. And he asked them a twofold question. He said, why were you afraid? Can you imagine the temperament and the personality of old Peter when Jesus said, why were you afraid? He probably thought to himself, he might not have said it out loud, but knowing Peter, he probably did. You back there sleeping. And we's out here struggling. I don't know about you, but when Deuteronomy 30 talks about choosing life as opposed to choosing death, if I can, I'd rather be sleeping through the storm with my Savior than struggling against a storm. With a bunch of my comrades that didn't even have no faith, growling and a grumbling and a fussing and all kinds of stuff, and said, we're dying. And watched their theological knowledge. They went back there and woke him up. He's 100% man, born of the Virgin, and yet remained 100% God Almighty. Yeah, Jesus is absolute God. By him all things were made that were made, and without him there was not anything made. By him God Almighty made the worlds. He's the creative God. Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. We're dying and you don't care. Now what kind of talk is that? We're dying and you don't care. My old granny always said, hear nothing, say nothing. I don't believe he rebuked the men. He just got up, walked out. And that storm on Galilee, sure, Peter was right. Possible 12 feet seas. And that little fish, Galilean fishing boat, at maximum maybe 30 feet long, 14 feet wide. Yeah. It was not designed to withstand hurricane strength winds and waves. Yeah. So it was cracking. And they were seasoned. They fished those waters since they were boys. Yeah. They absolutely knew they were in jeopardy. Yeah. They tried everything they knew to do. But the last thing they did ought to have been the first thing they did. I'm not criticizing Peter, James, and John and the rest of them. But I want to be humble enough that I can learn from them. So the first thing I need to do when storms and tribulations and trials and troubles come to my life, I don't want to wait till it gets so overwhelming that I'm overwhelmed. When I know he's on board. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. What know you not? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit which are God's. So the Holy Spirit dwells in us that are saved by His grace.
Amen.
We don't have to go looking for Him. He's with us. So Jesus was with them in the boat.
Amen.
He had said at the docks of Capernaum, we've all heard this preached all of our lives by bunches of preachers. He said at the docks of Capernaum, let's go over to the other side. And when they got in the boat and launched, things were pretty good. But circumstances, whether good or bad, they do not have bearing upon the word of Almighty God. When He said to them, we are going over, He didn't identify potential circumstances. Sure, because of the curse of sin, potential calamities and varying chaotic ordeals and heart-wrenching situations may be lurking out there. Proverbs 27:1, we don't know what a day may bring forth. But He did say, we're going over. And they launched forth. He was a human. He was resting. He went to sleep. But He's God. I'm amazed at the pastoral little epistle of Titus, where Paul told Titus, Titus, have the faith of Christ. For Christ, God in the flesh, lived by faith in His own abilities. And you can have the faith of Christ, Titus, active in you. Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live according to the faith of the Son of God. So when Jesus said, let's go over, He went to sleep. He's going to ride it to the other side, there's no doubt. Storm or no storm. And when the seas got choppy and the winds got up, they started lightening the load. They started bailing out. They started batting things down. They were doing the things that they were supposed to do. And I reckon God expects us to do what we can do, or we'd be lazy and good for nothing. He ain't a cosmic sugar daddy. He's a holy, righteous Father.
Amen.
And when He tells me to do things, He expects me to do them. When He says jump, I ought to say how high in midair. That's obedience. And that's better than sacrifice and to hearken than the fat of rams. But sometimes, I'm like Peter. When the boats are rocking and the waves are washing us over, and we all realize what's going on. And we get to fussing at one another and criticizing one another. Why don't you pull your load? Why don't you do what you're doing? We're all going to die out here. Finally, somebody, I'm thinking it was John, said, where is he? He's where He's always been and always will be. Right with us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's go wake Him up. So they woke Him up. And manifest it out of the abundance of the heart, Jesus said, the mouth speaks. So they were so fearful for their own lives and believing the devil's lies. We're dying and you don't care. You know that story well. He walks by them, gets up there, He goes from the stern where He was sleeping through the storm, and He comes out here on the bow. And all that wind and lightning, I can't imagine how fearful that was. Now behind Him, that's where they ought to stay all the time.
Yeah.
I'm in trouble if I get ahead of my point man in the jungle, don't I?
Yeah.
I better not get ahead of my point man. I'd rather stay always behind Him.
Yeah.
But when I get out here in front of Him, I'm more susceptible to the ambushes and booby traps and everything else. Now, though, they get the position right. They ain't out there doing their thing their way, struggling with the storm. They're out there, and they're hugging one another like little scared young'uns, and they're looking at the back of Jesus. Now that lightning lights up that death scenario, and they see Him out there with those arms outstretched, and He cocks His head back a little bit, and He says, peace!
Yeah.
Be still! and the Creator made the waves lay down. And the winds went to sleep. And there was a great calm. And they said, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and waves obey him? And he turned around, and that's when he asked them, why were you afraid? Oh, Peter said, I come back. Now, 10 times I've come that close of being washed off this thing by these waves. And I learned to swim before I could walk, but I can't swim in this. I felt winds before, but I ain't never felt winds like that. But you put it all to sleep. Where was your faith? Now John, or one of them, starts putting it together. Greatest teacher that ever walked the planet. And it dawned on them. We were afraid because we lost our faith. And we put our faith in ourselves. And we forgot about him. And he was there all the time. Where have we been when the wind, when the waters got choppy? I'm glad the state of Tennessee is not in the state that Virginia's in, politically and philosophically. But where did New York go? Where's Michigan gone? Where's New York and California? As far left wacko as they could be. When the waters got choppy, what was the devil doing? The enemy, the adversary. You see, we could talk several things about the devil, but his domain. Ephesians chapter 2, down about verse 2 and 3, Paul called him the God of this world and the prince. That's in 2 Corinthians 4, but then in Ephesians chapter 2, he's the prince of the power of the air. So all you get on news now, it's propaganda.
Amen. That's it. Amen.
I ain't here to talk politics. I'm trying to listen to the Holy Ghost of God talk to me tonight about the devil and his domain, the music, the communication, everything going through the airwaves. Getting to the hearts, boy, I was blessed with these kids tonight. And these, all of you all here in God's house. But the domain of the devil. He's the prince of the power of the air. And he's the god of this world. And this whole world and all that's in it, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. That's 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that's in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, not of the Father, but of the world, and the world passes away. And the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. Well, that lying devil and that thieving devil, I'm here to tell you, he has got, there's so many people in Knox County, Virginia, I promise you, addicted on this old methamphetamine. Our young people in our public schools, even in Tennessee, are hearing all about anti-God, anti-Christianity, all this stuff, hollering about America, putting down America, grievances all of yesteryear. You can't hold on and fuss about what happened yesterday. We've got a tomorrow to live for. God Almighty wants to bless your future. And God Almighty wants to bless you right now. But the controller of the airwaves, it's more than CNN and MSNBC and a left-wing political outfit in Washington. You all know who the god of this world and whose domain is that he's the prince of the power of the air. That's the devil. And he lies. I remember, I thought about this when we were praying over our county schools yesterday. Henry, we were praying over Chilham House. I remember a preaching there, Brother Charles, not too long ago. They'd called me to Marion Senior High School and different schools in the county. And then back in the 90s, we started hearing this stuff. Well, now, you preachers ought not to be here because kids are impressionable. We need to get you preachers out there. Separation of church and state. And we won't go into details. That was the Danbury Baptist Association up there in New England. That's a misinterpretation of that letter and all the rest of it. But the devil's a liar. So now we've got Jesus out. Up in Virginia, they got so offended because I prayed in the press box Friday night football games. Can't do that no more. That all of a sudden become unconstitutional. But now we're going to get down, Brother Charles, where God wants us to be. And if this is not applicable to you personally, it's applicable to the Lord's church, the body of Christ across America. Because just as the devil lied to those disciples, he's lied to us. And we didn't think much about that. I would to God, back in the 90s when they took prayer out earnestly. I know Madam Mary O'Hara has got that back, but we still prayed up to way up there in the 90s. What were God's people doing when that lying, thieving, murderous snake got all his programs in place? His objective is to take people away from Jesus. There's always been a left-wing disdain for Christianity and capitalism. That's just the truth. But what were we doing? Oh, that's right. We was fussing about this, fussing about that, fussing about the other. In the church. One of the saddest things I ever read, Pastor, was preaching at Grace Baptist Temple in Charleston, West Virginia, or St. Albans, actually. And a lobbyist to the state of West Virginia legislature was there one night. He was an attorney with the Family Association. People said, oh, that's that right-wing crazy bunch. But he had a lot of internal documents about Janet Reno at the time and various things and various active groups and activist groups, how they were going to change America. And one of the most saddest things that hit my heart when I read all that was that they actually infiltrated, folks actually infiltrated the church of the Lord Jesus in the early 90s and observed us. And to read their report, I've got copies of it in my desk at home. They're funny, these people said. They claim they love one another, but they don't. We visited churches and we heard how dissatisfied everybody was, and it was just amazing contradiction of what they say. They say one thing and they live another. They get excited over little hot button topics, but don't worry because they'll retreat back in their little old cocoon of their safe zones in their churches. And we're so easy we can get people voted into school boards, city councils, state legislatures, and even the U.S. Congress. House of Representatives and Senate, and yea, even the White House. And we have voted politicians in that we didn't even know their core beliefs or their history or where they come from or nothing. And we went to those ballot boxes just because old Mama and Papa was either a D or an R. That's what we think we are. And it might not be so bad in Tennessee, but trust me, they're coming for Tennessee. They're coming for this entire country. And where was the salt and where was the light? It would have been so easy, young'uns, just to slip through the storm and let the Lord just slip with Jesus. We'd have got to Gadara anyway. But the boat got to rocking and we got a little shook up. We turned our guns on one another. And so many local churches have gotten in disarray. That's why I'm so blessed tonight to see this. To be with you here at Temple. And to know that you're standing by the stuff. You're still believing and still proclaiming and still preaching the holy word of God. Because it ain't changed. But our country's changed. That's who the devil is. His domain's out here in the airwaves. His domain's in the entertainment world. And now we've got our education system where our children go to school in Virginia. Some of our girls at good old Marion High School got real shook up. They had a boy. Said he was a girl. He didn't go in and use the bathroom. He just stand there gawking. So the girls complained. He's just staring at us. The girls got in trouble and he didn't. That's where we are, children. I don't want to throw cold water on a hot revival. But I like what the song leader said and what the pastor's already said by having this meeting. You want a revival, it starts out with Sorry I didn't stand up strong back there. Man, if we'd all stood up strong back several years ago, it would have been too difficult. But a house and a kingdom divided can't stand. So the storms are raging. We're perishing. We're dying. You don't care. Peace. And the whole deal went to sleep. He said, why were you afraid? Where's your faith? And they realized we were fearful because we become faithless. You have no, why is it that you have no faith? He found some that had little faith. But then he got up there in Syrophoenicia. And he found that little old woman up there that had that daughter that was vexed. Out of the borders of Israel. He would tell the Pharisees, wasn't there any widows in Israel in Elijah's day? Y'all were religious then, you're religious now. And it ain't about religion. It's about redemption and the Redeemer. They told that Gentile woman, ain't lawful to give bread to dogs. That's an insult. Boy, I like what she did though. She got on her knees, crawled over her. Jesus wrapped her arms around his leg. She said, that might be true, but I ain't worried about that. I don't worry about what you say, how you say. I know who you are, and I know my daughter needs you. And the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Now, Lord, I ain't asking for the whole loaf. I'm just asking for a little crumb. Have mercy on my daughter. Jesus said, oh, woman, great is your faith. I want you to know one little crumb out of the cornbread. It's still got the ingredients of the cornbread. I may not have the whole slice, but I got a little bit of it. Thank God. And little as much when God's in it. Hey. It'll give you faith. Amen. And oh man, in that Roman centurion. When Jesus said, I'm going home with you to help your servant. He said, hey, you're a bit busier than I am. You just say the words. You don't have to show up there. Great is your faith. Faith comes by the word of God. We got to read and study the word. We got to preach the word. Live the word. And be the word. The word is nigh thee even in your mouth. And it'll please God. And the victory that overcomes the world is our faith. Amen. And so the domain of the devil, the devices of the devil, he said over there in 2 Corinthians, we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. Lest he'd get an advantage over us. He'd deceive the very elect's sake if it's possible. No, he'll lie. And sadly, people believe his lies. And communications are so hindered by things that aren't so. It's sad enough that we have division, but even sadder to know that many times it's unnecessary. So I believe it was John that put the two together. We were fearful because we were faithless. Jesus, we forgot who you are and therefore what you can do. And they realized they weren't dying. It was just what the devil whispered to their natural mind. It's a lie. We're dying. No, you're not. And then the biggest lie of all, you don't care when he came to die for them. That's the same thing the devil pulled on Eve, is it not? You won't die and you'll be like God. Lie on both sides. Yes, they were going to die. And they would never, ever, never, ever be like God. But can we close tonight with talking about that rascal's defeat? Boy, he's arrogant. That's why God resists the proud. You know, I think your pastor's been talking about David. We heard a message about David. David's greatest sin and David's greatest strength. David's greatest sin was not his adultery. It was not his lying and covering up. It was not his murder. was his blind pride. Tried to cover it up even to the man of God, Nathan. And then had Joab number the people like God had told him not to do. But David's greatest strength was not putting Goliath on the ground. Not taking care of the bear and the lion. But his greatest strength is when God showed him his sin. He repented and humbled himself. 2,000 years ago, the devil was so proud that in Matthew 4, the devil came to Jesus. And three times when Jesus had been out there fasting 40 days, first thing the devil did, tempted him with bread. Even tried to quote the scripture, but all three times Jesus said, "It is written," from Deuteronomy 4 and Deuteronomy 6. And then the devil left him. But if the devil was proudful enough to try to go up against Jesus, you think he won't try to do something to me? His domain, his deception, his devices. But then he met Jesus up at the top of the hill. And when death met life, and when the lie met the truth, Jesus humbled himself, Philippians 2, and became obedient unto death. We couldn't pay an eternal debt. The devil heard God say in Genesis 3, "I'll put enmity between your seed and the seed of the woman. You'll bruise his heel, he'll bruise your head." And the promise was made. And the devil, I believe, tried every way in the world to keep Jesus from the summit of Moriah. But he made it. And they spiked him to that cross. And 700 years prior, the prophecy Isaiah 53, the righteous soul of Christ was made an offering for our sin. And he who knew no sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21, was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Ephesians chapter 4, before he ever ascended back to heaven, he descended into the lower parts of the earth, the perfect one, bearing the sins of all of us imperfect ones. Sure, the devil tried to stop him, but he couldn't stop him. So in his own body, he bore all of our sins. And Ephesians 4 said, he descended into that dark world of death, hell, and the grave, beyond whose borders, as the old time preachers used to say, no man could ever return. But there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And the payment for our sin was eternal death. By a perfect sacrifice, we got that in the virgin birth when Jesus showed up in Bethlehem with his face set toward Moriah. He came to the cradle in Bethlehem, born there, so he could die at the cross of Calvary. And he said, "For this cause came I into the world. No man has the power to take my life. I've got the power to lay it down, and I've got the power to take it up again." So he died on that cross. He descended into the very face of the devil's domain in your place and mine. With our condemnation, with our sin, he went down. Then with our justification, he came back up. Having laid the death blow at the side of the head of the devil. Hebrews chapter 2 said that through death he would destroy him that had the power of death. What that word destroy means, it's not a cessation of being, but it is a cessation of well-being. Let me tell you, he took the well-being away from the devil. Revelation 1, Jesus said, "I am he who lives, was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And because I live, ye shall live also." Oh, don't you love him? And having gone down and represented Charles Lawson to the darkened world, he can't get here and get out, but I'm here for him. I'm he who has now the keys of death and hell. Then Ephesians 4 says, once he descended, then he ascended. Told Mary, "Don't touch me, I'm not yet ascended." He went all the way to the pinnacle of heaven, walked into glory, to the tabernacle not made with hands, and said to the Holy Father in the councils of heaven, Charles Lawson can never ascend to this height, but I am here for him. And my precious blood will be the sacrifice for his sin. And that happened 2,000 years ago. And then when you went to an old time altar and put faith in that grace, Jesus looked at the Father and said, "It's already done. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So the next time the devil starts messing with you and trying to mentally manipulate you, you take him to where your victory is and where his defeat is. It's at a blood-drenched cross. It's out in front of an empty tomb. It's down before our great high priest, whoever lives, to make intercession for us. Hallelujah to his name. We got a mediator. And the devil got defeated. Now, when he knows you've got that mind of Christ and you're humble and spiritually minded, he's a bully. He won't mess with you. And tomorrow night, I don't know if we'll get on it or not, but when you got that helmet on, and you got that breastplate on, and you got that loin girdle of truth, and your feet shod with the preparation gospel peace, and you're packing ultimate power in the two-edged sword, that gladius, you got that little sidearm there, that's a double hit. And you got the shield quenching all the fiery dark. He ain't dangerous to you. You're a danger to him. Because you're walking in light. So you can't walk in darkness simultaneously. When you know the truth overcomes a lie. And you got that discernment. And you know it immediately. So you rebuke him in the name of the Lord. And you resist him. And he's going to find somebody else. Because you got the whole armor of God on. Glory. Can I tell you, the lion's been decalled. He's been defamed. He's been defeated. We got victory in Jesus. Not just positionally when they came out of Egypt. They could have had it progressively, but they got to Kadesh and they messed up because of doubt. But old Joshua and Caleb said, "Let's go up at once and take the land. We're well able." That other bunch said, "We're just grasshoppers." Boys, you didn't see the giants. Josh and Caleb said, "Boys, you didn't go up there in Hebron and get them grapes." You stick a reed in one of those big Esco grapes and tank up on that Eskel Creek grape juice. Honey, you'll look at a giant. And the doubters and the fleshly spies might have thought those giants, those eight at Anakim, they thought they're 10 foot tall. And the more grape juice Joshua and Caleb got slugged down, thank God those Anakim stunk down to about 5 foot, 3 foot, 2 foot. Thank God. Eliminate the giants. Enjoy the grapes. Hallelujah to God. Engage the giants. Eliminate that grasshopper stuff. Oh, we're so in trouble. No, we're not. You've been listening to the God of this world and the prince of the power of the air. You need to turn off CNN, MSNBC. You need not to worry about Biden and Trump. You need to get down to bleeding feet of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and open up this book right here and know, thank God, we still got victory. I don't care what they say. I know what he's already said. Glory! And this book right here is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. So the devil, you just remember, yeah, he's got a domain out here. And he's got a lot of devices and he's deceptive. But he was defeated. And your blessed Lord shared with you all the victory that he gained for you. And now you don't have to go out against the giants for a victory. You can go against the giants with the victory already. Walking in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And we're anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of creation lives in you, Christian. And according to Romans 8, the power of the resurrection dwells within us too. Just keep preaching, preacher, and I have no doubt that you will. Keep doing what you're doing. Just do a whole lot more of it. and bear down just a little bit. It might be a little difference. Well, I thought you was going to talk about the devil and how we're defeated. No, he's defeated. We ain't. He's a liar. We ain't. We got the truth. And now abides faith, hope, and love. These three musicians, would you come and play? Oh, yeah, use this altar one time. I hope God's people get around this altar and pray for Knox County, Knoxville. Pray for me. Just pray, believe God. When Zion travails, sons and daughters will be brought forth. Henry, I know you was out preaching at Walter Street Chapel this morning, but we had a blessed scene this morning. Brother Charles, it's rarely happened. It's happened in the past few times. We had a husband and wife come together hand in hand, lost, got saved this morning. Walked down the aisle together. I've never seen such bless me. I'm telling you the truth. And as on up our middle age, it's a little younger than, you know, than we are. But that's all right. We're seasoned, brother. That's all right. And they come a strolling down the aisle to meet Jesus at the altar and got saved. Oh, are you lost? If you are, you can be saved tonight. Would you stand with me if you're physically able? And while they sing, Christian, would you come pray? And if you're lost, would you come and be saved? How many of God's people fill this altar up tonight? And let's pray for tomorrow night that God would help and bless and move and stir. And just believe God. When we humble ourselves, God exalts us. Just come right on. Believe God. You're here this evening and you say, Preacher, I know the service is about over. You don't know me. It's first time here, but I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing. But I do love your soul, and I know Jesus loves you more. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here and you're not a Christian, you say, Preacher, I'm as theistic as Brother Charles is. I believe the Bible. I've been raised to believe the Bible. I don't doubt God, and I know that I need God. I'm not sure and certain of my personal salvation, but I know the Bible so. And I believe in prayer, too. Pray for me. Tonight, tomorrow night, or soon. I just want you to pray for my soul. I'm not going to embarrass you. I promise you we're not going to trick you or try to squall at you. I won't talk to you after service either. Just pray for you on the way back up the road. But you say, Brother Mike, pray for me before the service is over. I'm not a Christian, or I'm unsettled and uncertain about it. Pray for me tonight. Would you let this old preacher pray for you by just lifting your hand up there and letting me pray for you? Anybody across the crowd tonight, they're just humble and honest. Say, pray for me, preacher. That's me, and I'd appreciate your prayers. Would there be one anywhere? All right, sing for us, our brother, a song while these pray at the altar. Believe God. Bring a lost soul with you tomorrow night if you can. Let's just believe God for these three nights that we'll have a move of God in a mighty way. Praise the Lord. Preacher, would you come and close the service as God directs you? Praise